ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 9, text 3. You can find it on your device. Please don't sit with your back to the deities. You can sit sideways, but don't sit with your back to the deities. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 3, it's a well-known verse. I hope that many of you have memorized it. And you can chant with us. Otherwise, find it out on your device. And if you don't have a device, or you have a device which doesn't have the relevant verse on it, then share with, look at someone else's. Ashradadhanah, Ashradadhanah Purusha, Dharmasyasya Parantapa, Aprapyamang Nivartante, Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani, Ashradadhanah Purusha, Dharmasyasya Parantapa, Aprapyamang Nivartante, Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. Verse translation, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of foes. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yata tarora mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskandha pujo pashakaha Pranopaharachcha yatendriyanam tataiva saravahanam achyutejya. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. That is the end of that verse translation. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive, and as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third-class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga is vanquished, they become second-class or first-class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First-class attachment, second-class attachment, and third-class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them there is very, very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Frightening verse, huh? Having come to Krishna consciousness, we are warned that we can fall away again. We should be afraid. I've heard it said, I don't have any exact evidence, but in one of Satsarupa Maharaj's books, he says the same thing. I've heard it said, but I don't have an exact quote, that Srila Prabhupada had said that among his disciples, they don't have enough fear of Maya. In devotional service, we're supposed to be fearless. Among the godly qualities that Lord Krishna mentions at the beginning of chapter 16, the first is abhayam, fearlessness. But that means that we're not afraid of any material thing. It doesn't mean that we think that, well, we can just go on a holiday from devotional service and eat meat and drink wine and it's all okay. We're not afraid. To not be afraid of sinful reactions is very foolish. Now, I particularly took up this subject because I was asked by a devotee. Is she here, Bhagamalini? Is she here? Yeah, she's here. It's a common question. Why do we have ups and downs? How can we get over the up and down syndrome? That we're feeling enthusiastic, they're not enthusiastic. And then after some time we pick up again, and after some time we go. The problem with, or a major problem is, if we go down and we keep on going down. We can expect, just like if you see a graph, say you see a graph of a country's gross domestic product, it's of its economics. Then, on a graph, it's in time, right? Time and the in each month, what is the GNP, GDP, or growth? So there are going to be ups and downs, but if it's generally going up, it's considered to be good by people who think that the goal of life is to get more and more money, which means almost everyone. So that's the sign of the government's doing well, the country's doing well, it's going. So there are two lines. One is a squiggly one, which goes, no, there shouldn't be too much upping and downing, but there may be. But and then there's an arrow, a straight arrow, which shows the mean. And if it's generally going up, it's okay. So we can expect some ups and downs. The question comes, how do we get over the downs altogether and just go up? Because if we're still looking down, then we may even get close to Vaikuntha. We're still looking down and thought, well, it's a long time since I was in the heavenly planets. Maybe I should just check that out before going back to Godhead. Then we're in trouble. So what is it? What are the causes of losing inspiration? Or maybe a better way to put it, positive thinking, how we can maintain inspiration in Krishna consciousness, knowing that in our conditioned state, the tendency is there that it will come and go. Now, there could be many answers to this question. There could be all kinds of causes, because we're dealing with human psychology, and even the physical body is so complex that in many cases, the doctors, even they may be very expert, super specialists, they cannot trace out the cause of a disease, or they may not even be able to identify it at all. What's that, the cause of a disease? There's a word for that. Etymology, is it? Yeah. They can't trace it out. Even it may. What to speak of very complex diseases? How to solve the common cold? There's still no sign of any cure on the books. I was speaking with Murari Gupta Prabhu yesterday about his, what's called in Indian English, white leprosy. What's the technical name for that? The skin vitiligo, the skin decoloration. And it's not known what the cause is. There are some ideas, and the general idea has changed. So what to speak of the human body? The human mind is much more complex. I'll speak about that. I'm planning to speak on that at some point in time, before too long, how this psychology, what goes on the name of psychology, it's all basically mental speculation. So we shouldn't take it too seriously. It's very dangerous to take mundane psychology too seriously. You might end up having a sex change operation. Really? Or you might end up deciding, well, all these years I've been a heterosexual, what I really need is become a homosexual. They might advise you. Really, I'm not joking. They might really advise you. Or you might go in, you might go into these marriage counselors who are all trained in psychology, and you just want to know how to patch up some problems with your spouse, and they'll tell you, you need a divorce. So, if you see a psychologist, either sell them one of Prabhupada's books, or as soon as they see you, they'll start shrinking you. They'll start analyzing you in terms of psychology. Or the other thing, just run away if you don't have a book with you to sell. Anyway, what are the exact causes? Why is the mind like that? Or why is the mind like that? Well, it's not etymology. Etymology is in language. Anyway. Whatever. Hoya mayar das korinana obhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have many, many desires. Those desires trap us in this material world. And as much as we are meditating upon those desires, that much we won't maintain enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we see a devotee with a black face. You say that in your language, black face. I think it's in every language. Black face. You don't say that? Black face. No, it means you're depressed. Or you have the blues, they say in English, you have the blues. That's because the aura of someone who's depressed is blue. And of one who is happy, it's white, yellow, bright-faced, dull-faced, the opposite. Sometimes we see a devotee who's been very bright-faced and becomes dull-faced, black-faced. What does that mean? It's meditating on material desires. No longer meditating on how to serve Krishna. As a general description of the path going up back to Godhead is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that we get the Bhaktilata Bij, we receive the Bhaktilata Bij, which is not defined in that, but we can understand it to mean because the process of the development of bhakti, ado shraddha, so the faith that in pure devotional service, one has that faith and then one has to take that seed, Bhakti Lata Bij, and Mali Hoya She Bij Kore Aropan, one has to become a garden and plant that seed. So it's an analogy. And gradually the seed develops into a creeper, which a creeper means it's not intrinsically strong. A tree grows up with its own strength, but a creeper requires support to go up. The creeper wants to go up, but it requires support, either a tree or some trellis or a wall or something like this. So it goes up with support. And the gardener has to give the water. The water is hearing and chanting about Krishna. And in this way, the creeper goes all the way up to Golok Vrindavan. Tabe jai tadupari Golok Vrindavan. Krishna charan kalpa brikke kare arohan. Then it reaches up to the tree of the desire tree of Krishna's lotus feet. Taha bistarato hoya phale prema phal. Yaha mali sheche nitta shavanadijo. So when it reaches up to the lotus feet of Krishna, then it flourishes, and the fruits of love of Krishna, they become manifest, but still the gardener has to keep on giving the Shravan Kirtan, Jal, the water of hearing and chanting. In other words, even when one comes to the perfectional stage, one doesn't give up the process. In fact, the perfectional stage means to become attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. But we are warned. Jodi Vaishnava Parad Ute Hati Mata Upare Ba Chinde Tar Shuki Jai Pata Tate. We are warned that if there is the offense to Vaishnavas in particular, it becomes like a mad elephant. A mad elephant may go in a garden which has been cultivated very carefully for many years, and mad elephant has no consideration that people have made this garden so nice, or that it is nice, and just throws everything here and there. And in this way, the mad elephant may uproot the creeper from the root altogether, or may cut it. In other words, the mad elephant may stop, just stop our devotional service altogether, or may cut it. That means that snakes and ladders, we are on a high level and we come down to a much lower level. So that's very dangerous. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns, Tate mali jatna kari kare abaron aparada hoshtir joiche nahoi udgom. Therefore, the gardener has to be very careful. The gardener means the devotee who's practicing the process of devotional service. The devotee has to be very careful and makes a offense so that the mad elephants cannot enter and destroy everything. So what is that fence? Well, that could, or the fence, it may not be made out of one material, maybe made out of multiple materials. How do we check from falling down? There are so many considerations. Here, Krishna, in this Bhagavad Gita verse that we read, Shraddha, one has to protect one's faith. If the faith goes, then everything goes. It's possible to perform Krishna consciousness perfunctorily as a kind of formula or ritual, but that won't help one to advance. It's possible that one can do that. For instance, someone may be in devotional service and I read something recently about so many priests. There was in the maybe a decade or so ago, it started dying out, but there was a massive onslaught of atheism with Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris. Who was the other guy? Something beginning with D. Anyway, they were making a big campaign against theism. And some report came out that there are many priests in the church who they don't really believe in it anymore. But anyway, they've been a priest all their life and they don't. What are they going to do if they leave? So they go on doing their rituals and blessing people. And if there's anyone left to bless, who's interested in getting blessed, baptizing babies and burying the dead, and they're just doing it. They don't believe in it, but what are they going to do? At the age of 55, what are you going to do? Go out and get a job, become a rock star? Not very likely. So they just go on with it, and it pays the bills. They get their bills paid, and it's a bit frustrating because they might want to go out and be a rock star. But they don't see any alternative. So it may be in Krishna consciousness also someone. They don't feel any taste. They don't really believe in it anymore. But anyway, what else am I going to do? So what do we have to do? We have to be very careful. What is that care? What is the fence that we'll build? Well, we should study the Shastra and hear about all the things that we should do and all the things that we shouldn't do. Utsaha is the first. Utsaha is the first qualification. So enthusiasm, we can't be enthusiastic unless we have faith. It's very difficult to be enthusiastic about something that you don't believe in. Faith has to be maintained. So that comes by the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Actually, this kind of question, how can we? It's a how question. And there are so many questions like that. How can we be sincere? How can we be dedicated? How can we get free from material desires? How can we avoid Vaishnavapara? One standard answer to all such questions is, if you feel that you're lacking in such an area, then you associate with people who you see are not lacking in that area, who have that quality. And by association, sangat sanjayate kamaha, one's desires develop by association. So if we're feeling, well, I don't really like Krishna consciousness, and we hang out with other devotees or just hanging in devotees who also feel the same way, then we'll talk each other to hell. We'll lose it. But then we have to associate with those who are fixed and strong, and it may not even be very helpful to go again and again and again and say, oh, how do I get strong? How do I get... Just be with them and do what they're doing and emulate them. It's intellectually we can't work it all out. We can't work anything out intellectually. I mean, you can do it. 2 + 2 = 4. You don't really have to work that out, but there may be more complex things. Just like, for instance, if I asked you to divide 12,323 by 26, you could do it. Probably not on the spot, but might have to. Oh, nowadays, just they say, what's that number, and put it in the device. But someone like myself, who was raised before such things were standard parts of every civilized person's existence, we learned how to actually divide one number by another. It'd actually be more difficult to do it around the other way. But anyway, if you have to divide a smaller number by a bigger number. But it can be done. Some things can be worked out by the mind, but there are limits to what we can understand by the mind, even materially. Do you think, Murari Gupta Prabhu, there will ever come a day when the medical practitioners will understand every disease and how to treat it? No. There will never come such a day. Will there ever come a day when there'll be no more mathematical problems left? Nope. There are certain things materially we can't understand. The scientists are looking and finding. They found, first of all, there was the atom, which means the etymological derivation of the word atom means the smallest possible thing. Then they found subatomic particles, which means it's not the smallest thing. And then the smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then anyway, it's all just waves and what's going on. So will there ever come a point where they get to where this is actually the smallest entity? No. It's Russian dolls. Open, there's another one inside. Open, there's another one inside. Do you ever get to the end? You don't get to the end. In any particular situation, it may be very difficult to analyze what exactly is the problem. So you may go to some, you may go to someone and say, "What's my problem? What's my problem?" And don't get on the mental platform and trying to analyze everything and understand and work it out. To some extent, yes. Therefore, we are given guidelines. Atyahara prayashascha, for instance. Don't eat too much. Don't endeavor too much for mundane things. Don't talk nonsense. So general guidelines are there, but to exactly map out the whole condition, even if we did do that, that still wouldn't be the cure. It doesn't necessarily mean you get a cure. So some warnings are there. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has very kindly warned us, Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha janasangas chalolyam cha shadbhya bhaktya. Is it prasiddhiti or pranashyati? You better know which one's which. These pranashyati, these six things, can completely destroy one's devotional service. Eating too much, or collecting too much. That's one psychological syndrome. It's probably not very common in Croatia, but it's fairly common in America, that people just fill their houses with every bit of junk. They buy a packet of tomatoes in a plastic bag and they'll never throw it away. And then they can't even get in, they can't hardly open the door of their house because it's filled with junk. There's some kind of psychological syndrome. Do you get that in Croatia? No. The further west you go, the more crazy people get. And America is really nuts. Don't believe all the propaganda that it's a great country. Over-collecting, getting more things than we need. Keep things simple. Yavat artha prayojanam. Just keep whatever we need. Don't collect more things. Don't be fascinated by things that we don't need. They're always the latest. What's the latest? iPhone, iPod, iPad, this, that, the other. Got to get it. Got to get in the queue when the new iPad's coming out. Get in the queue in the shop so I can get one. Don't be fascinated by all these things. And don't eat too much, because if we eat too much, then what happens? Then we become sick, become dull-headed, we become sexually agitated. Eating too much is just before prasad. Spoil the party. Well, it is a fact, by eating too much, that one's... It's warned about. It is a fact that eating too much... Occasionally on a feast day, be happy, take prasad. But in general, one should be very careful not to make a habit of stuffing the belly with more than is required. Better take a little less rather than a little more. And balance is required. Not eat too much, not eat too little. That's it. So don't collect too much. Eating too much, endeavoring for all kinds of things that we don't really need, or desiring all kinds of things that we don't need, including all kinds of things that can be... knowledge that we don't need also. If we're practicing Krishna consciousness, unless we're involved in a particular field of study or research for preaching, we don't need to know all about it. We don't need, there's no one in this room whose Krishna consciousness is going to be enhanced by deeply studying quantum theory. If someone was going to get into that for the sake of preaching, it's a very specialized field of preaching, then it might be relevant. It might be relevant to have a little knowledge of that if one is preaching in universities and this and that. But there are so many things to know So if you think, well, I'll know a little bit about everything, and then you're already finished, because there's so many things to know. Now, it doesn't mean one should be an ignoramus, but it also doesn't mean that one shouldn't be fascinated by intellectualism for the sake of intellectualism and learning so many different things. And recently I read Srila Prabhupada's conversation with members of Mensa. Mensa is an organization for highly intelligent people. So there were a couple who came to see Srila Prabhupada, and they were firing questions at him, and Prabhupada was firing back. And then they went, at the end they were satisfied, he's quite intelligent, much more intelligent than they are. But then they wanted to give him a test. Oh, you can do our tests, then you can become a member of Mensa. Prabhupada said, no. Krishna consciousness is above the intelligence. Oh, that must have hurt them so much, because their whole endeavor is to show how they're so intelligent, to operate on the platform of intelligence. But Srila Prabhupada said, no. He wasn't interested in doing a test to become a member of Mensa, or to show that his intelligence is so good. Because he says that Krishna consciousness is above the intelligence. That's it. So Srila Prabhupada was highly intelligent, and he could meet with highly intelligent people. This man was the director or president or something of the Mensa Society. So he was a big shot in the intelligentsia, in the world of highly intelligent people. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't interested in showing that, yeah, I'm high in intelligence. He was obviously extremely intelligent, with a different kind of intelligence to the kind of intelligence that normally people think is a matter of intelligence. As Srila Prabhupada said, I've not studied science. He had to some degree as a pharmacist, to some whatever he needed for his pharmaceutical business. But he said, but I'm meeting scientists, and I'm defeating them, and scientists are becoming his disciples. Why? Because Krishna gives the intelligence what to say. And if we read that exchange that is published as Life Comes from Life, we'll see it's brilliant. Srila Prabhupada's brilliant intelligence, as he is given all kinds of scientific propositions and replies to them fittingly. So collecting knowledge just for the sake of it, that can be a distraction. Why do we go up and down in devotional service? We go down because we're attracted to Maya. That's what going down means. Idle talks means, yeah, talking about things that are not connected with Krishna consciousness. Gossip. It is, as I see it in Krishna consciousness, and others disagree with this, that it is a good idea to not be so naive in Krishna consciousness that one can be misled. There are things going on in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and in the name of Krishna Consciousness that shouldn't go on, and that if we become involved in that, we can be misled by that. So we should not be so naive to think that everything and everyone in the Krishna Consciousness movement is exactly on the right point. But on the other hand, we shouldn't become so engrossed by such topics that our Krishna consciousness or the aim of life, to go to Krishna, to become pure devotees of Krishna, becomes covered by thoughts of how bad everything around us is, then we lose faith. And when we lose faith, we lose everything. We lose faith that Krishna consciousness can actually purify. And we don't become interested. We become more interested in gossiping about others. Topics of sensuality, which is what materialists talk about. Materialistic people. One of my godbrothers, Abhiram Prabhu, told me that he was doing business and he was at one point quite thickly involved with some mundane lawyers. But he found that when they weren't talking law, when they got a break, they'd talk about sex, sports, and I can't remember what else. But he was just completely not on a high intellect. He was surprised. He thought that these are highly learned and intelligent people. You'd think they'd talk about something more elevated, but just sex and sports, like the guy working in a factory. And now there are no more people working in factories because it's all done by robots. So they're all on opioids on the streets in Los Angeles. God bless America. That again comes to the point, jana sangha, then keeping the company of worldly people. If we keep the company of worldly people, then all these bad faults will come. Just like if we want to develop good qualities, associate with saintly devotees. And we should know that if we associate with people who are not devotees, then eating all kinds of horrible things is their life. Desire to gain more and more material things. Gossip. Idle talks. Neglect of principles. We can be either too much concerned with principles without understanding the real point of the principles, or we can be neglectful of the principles. Of the two, neglectful of the principles is worse, because the principles are meant to shape our lives in such a way that we can be Krishna conscious. So if we're not following the principles, then if we think I don't have to follow very strictly, then the very principles which are given by Krishna and the Acharyas for shaping our lives, if we don't follow them, then our lives won't be shaped in Krishna consciousness. So that's very serious. And then being greedy for mundane things, so all these things, they destroy devotion. I'm going to finish here, this session. I plan to continue talking about this. It's a big topic. It's an important topic. But I'm going to finish now on this topic. So there's another hour before you take lunch. And I'm finishing here because I regularly take lunch at 1:30 and I travel to different places, but I try to keep my routine. Otherwise, if I adjust to the local routine every time, then it's not very advisable for physical health. Which is also increasingly an issue as the body gets older. So, hope to continue this somewhat later.